Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and God save us.
God save us.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a
hand,
lifting hands, and
God save us.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates.
I want you to hear what I'm saying.
But there's no time,
no,
like the present,
no time
to give love,
to give love,
and not hate.
Just give love.
And if we could just embrace our difference, always be something.
There'll always be something.
You know, each soul has its own goal, but to him, we all
and
must
be.
So why don't you give love?
We're friends.
Greetings and welcome to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of the Creator. Thank you for joining us this morning as we bring to you another timely and profound message from Imam Shahid Shabazz. We are so glad to have you this Sunday and every Sunday. And each time, please remember to remind someone else and have them to join us too. Today's discussion will be human life is intelligent life. When people forget Allah, they lose their intelligence. Intelligence comes from the soul of the human. The human being has also been given an animal life by Allah. This animal life is not the real life of the human being. Animal life is a limited and inferior life. Allah says in his final revelation of the Quran that if people only desire their animal life and animal pleasures, they cannot rise above this state of mind. In other words, Allah says in this animal state, they don't have the ability to come into spiritual life and understanding, which is the real life of the human being. For people, this is a personal choice that every person has to come to choose for themselves. But understand, people, we only have a limited point in this world to come back to our real and eternal spiritual life. People's life does not end in our death. We will all be resurrected up from our dead grave for the judgment day before our Creator, Allah. And people, Allah says, if your intentions and actions are good, you will pass the test of this life and enter into Allah's heaven forever. But Allah says, if your intentions and actions are evil, you will spend eternity in the hellfire. Allah says in his hellfire, you will never die nor live. So people, we see how serious it is for us to strive hard, to try to find a way back to the right way, to look to the way that the merciful law, our Creator, has planned for us to live here on earth. And to strive hard, people, to live the best of life, to please our Creator, who is the one reason we all exist on earth, the reason for the creation, and all. So we want to strive to please him and to live a good life. And Imam Shahid Shabazz will tell us how we can do this, along with other guest speakers. And now, Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, make a my slam.
Greet everybody in the greetings of peace from Allah, the source of peace and perfection. Assalamu alaikum again.
Wa alaikum assalam.
We want to start off here today, people, by reiterating what the co-hosts have already said. This life that we're in, if you read the Quran, the Holy Quran, anybody doesn't have, they don't have to go by a title Muslim. You're created Muslim by nature. Everything in creation, the jinn world, which is the evil Satan, and this world between the heavens and the earth, Allah's world and the human world, they were created to worship Allah. And guess what? They did once worship Allah, the jinns, the ones that was created from fire free of smoke. Yeah, they was worshiping Allah at the time. I want to mention briefly another thing, because it's tied right into the time when, because history repeats itself. People may not change, but Allah has got everything evolving back to Him. So whether you change for the good or the bad, every day you are changing. You can't help but change. Guess what? You know what the biggest change is? The biggest change is that every time you inhale and exhale, you're dying physically, and you can't stop that. You don't have to have no sickness, no illness, but you're dying every day, and you don't know the moment Allah gonna send the angel of death for your soul. That's why we're taught, live every day trying to please Allah, as the sister said, as if though it's your last day, because it might very well be your last day. And Allah say, our Creator, the one Creator of all people, all humanity, He say, if you die in sin, consciously sinning, He said, your abode is the hellfire. You will spend eternity in hellfire after your judgment. Your judgment will definitely be the hellfire. But it say, Allah says, for those who want to be saved from the evil of themselves in this world, He said, and strive to please Him at all times and keep a heart turned in repentance to Him. Always keep your heart in repentance, because you're human and we are always sinning. Unbeknownably, because we're human. Allah knew this. That's why Allah said He loved those who call on Him constantly, and He loved those who keep themselves pure and clean. Because ain't no way going through the rituals of this beautiful being, Way of Life Islam, ain't no way going through the rituals alone going to earn you the good pleasure of Allah. And see, understand this. The only way we can be guided right and protected from evil, we have to earn the good pleasure of Allah. Why? Because Allah says in Quran, He is the protector of the believers. And Allah said that disbelievers have no protector. So if we want Allah to protect us from evil, our own evil, and the evil of this evil world, satanic world, then we must not just read Allah's words in the Quran. We must live out Allah's words in the Quran, like Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last and universal prophet of Allah. Peace be upon him. Special peace and salutation be upon him. It was this town, people, called Nineveh. Nineveh. In the Quran, in all revelation. The Quran is all revelation. And it was this messenger, prophet, named Jonah, in the English language. And Allah wanted him to go out and do da'wah and spread his message, because the town was a wicked town. The people were wicked, just like the whole world is today. And it wasn't that the prophet didn't want to obey Allah, but, I mean, it was hell. Because I'm doing it. I've been blessed to do it for 45 years out there in the streets of this country, the hells of North America here, or South America. And it's hell going out there dealing with them people. They threaten you. A lot of Allah's messengers and prophets got killed. The ones that didn't get killed, they threatened them. And guess what? Even Allah said most of his messengers and prophets, peace be upon them all, didn't even have one follower. That's why Allah said whenever you are doing da'wah, whether you're out in the street or wherever you are, on your job, whatever, Allah said just pass his message on to the people. Only if you live in his message yourself. And he said even when you pass his message on to others, don't look for them to convert to Islam, nor look for them to appreciate you bringing Islam to them. That's what made my da'wah so easy, because you don't have to look for nothing from them, nothing. Your reward is what the sister and me talking about, the good pledge of Allah. Hearts do find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah. I repeat, humanity, listening, hearts do find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah. So I will stop right there because I wanted everybody that's on to have an opportunity to share in this powerful discussion here today. So I'm going to say peace be upon you all. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum, my friend. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. We thank you for joining us, and those of you who are listening in, always invite someone to share with you the message that Imam Shahid Shabazz is bringing to you, the timely message that's needed for the time we're in. And now we will see if we have any guests who would like to speak today. I believe we do have one. I'm trying to bring our guests on now. All right. As-salamu alaykum. That's our beautiful ma'am here from Georgia, I believe. 404-247-4713. As-salamu alaykum.
Imam
Muhammad.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. It's good to hear your questions today. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Yours too.
We live in a society. We live in a society that has been organized in the wrong way. And in order for us to be able to please Allah in this society, we have to know what Allah says and what pleases Allah.
That's right.
I'm going to talk to you this morning about something that we all know, but I'm not sure that we've ever gone in depth into this topic like I'm going to do today. I'm going to tell you about something that I'm making a video about on my Inner City Voice for Dawah program on YouTube. But this topic is what Allah says about spying and backbiting. Do not spy. Do not grope after the secrets of the people. Do not search for their defects and weaknesses. Do not pry into their conditions and affairs, whether this is done because of suspicion or for an evil intention to cause harm to somebody or for satisfying one's own curiosity. In every case, it is forbidden by the Sharia. The Sharia is the Quran, the Islamic law. The Quran is the book of laws, as among other things. It does not befit a believer that he should spy on the hidden affairs of other people and should try to peep at them from behind curtains to find out their defects and their weaknesses. This also includes reading other people's private letters, listening secretly to private conversations, peeping into the neighbor's house, and trying to get information in different ways about the domestic life or private affairs of others. This is grave immorality, which causes serious mischief in society. That is why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said in an address about those who pry into other people's affairs, he said, "O people who have professed belief verbally, but faith has not yet entered your hearts, do not pry into the affairs of the Muslims. For he who will pry into the affairs of the Muslims, Allah will pry into his affairs. And he whom Allah investigates will be disgraced by Allah in his own house." This is recorded by Abu Dawood. Muawiyah says that he heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "If you start prying into the secret affairs of the people, you will corrupt them, or at least drive them very near corruption." This is also recorded in Abu Dawood. In another hadith, he said, "When you happen to form an evil opinion about somebody, do not pry about it." According to still another hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one who saw a secret affair of somebody and then concealed it as though he saved the girl who had been buried alive." The unlawfulness of spying is not only applicable to individuals, but also to the Islamic government. The duty of forbidding the people to do evil that the Sharia has entrusted to the government does not require that it should establish a system of spying to inquire too curiously into the people's secret evils and then punish them. But it should use force only against those evils which are manifested openly. As for the hidden evils, spying is not the way to reform them, but it is education, preaching and counseling, selective training of the people, and trying to create a pure social environment. In this connection, an incident concerning Umar, Amir al-Mu'minin, is very instructive. Once at night, he heard the voice of a person singing in the next house. He became curious and climbed the wall. There he saw wine as well as a woman. He shouted at the man, saying, "O enemy of suspicion, do you think you will disobey Allah and Allah will not expose your secret?" The man replied, "Do not make haste, O commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'minin. If I have committed one sin, you have committed three sins. Allah has forbidden spying, and you have spied. Allah has commanded that one should enter the houses by the doors, and you have entered it by climbing over my wall. Allah has commanded that one should avoid entering the other people's houses without permission, and you have entered my house without permission." Hearing this reply, Umar confessed his error and did not take any action against the man, but made him promise that he would follow the right way in the future. This shows that it is not only forbidden for individuals, but also for the Islamic government to pry into the secrets of the people and discover their sins and errors and then seize them for punishment. The same thing has been said in a hadith in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "When the ruler starts searching for the causes of suspicions among the people, he corrupts them." The only exceptions from this command are the special cases and situations in which spying is actually needed. For instance, if in the conduct of a person some signs of corruption are visible and there is the fearfulness that he is about to commit a crime, the government can inquire into his affairs. Or, for instance, if somebody sends a proposal of marriage to the house of a person, or one wants to enter into business with someone, the other person can inquire and investigate into his affairs for his own satisfaction. I'm going to stop here because this is getting quite lengthy, but I think that everybody gets the idea that backbiting, spying is forbidden in Islam. And the Quran is a book for all mankind. The Sharia is the Islamic law, And the Surah of the Mind, the fifth surah in the Quran, Allah tells us that no law can be made by man. He's the one that makes the law. And we should follow his law. And if we don't follow his law and we follow another law that is inconsistent with what he says, then he's a wrongdoer. And so we have to be very careful about what we... This is the reason why I started these videos, this video series, so that people can watch the video, listen to what is being said on the video, and then have a discussion after the video is finished to discuss how we can implement some of these things in our daily lives so that we'll become pleasing to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And we thank you for that tafsir on spine and backbiting, slander, because it is also hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, from Allah special and the righteous. He said, beware, Prophet Muhammad said, beware of sin and speaking of the ills or the vices, the ills of evil of other people that you know is in your own self. Also, he said, along with that, what you just said, he said, Allah, Prophet Muhammad taught us from Allah that if we don't have anything good to say about anybody, keep silent, don't say anything. You'll be safe then. Why? Because the whole gist of the message you just shared with us and what I'm saying is that Allah said, I'm the judge. Allah tell the mu'min, the believers in him, in Islam, to even, excuse me, I'm a little hoarse, even to forgive those people who disbelieve in Allah, who don't look forward to meet Allah. He said, forgive them too. And then Allah goes on and gives the reason why to his prophet, for us. He said, because I'm God. I'm the one who judges and punish for people or give them reward for their good or evil, not you. So that is also forbidden for us to judge people, even if and be looking for, like you said, fault finding. We call that in this English language, fault finding. That's what you in essence saying. That's forbidden in Islam. We supposed to look for the good in the people. Allah says in the Quran to the mu'min, the believer, strive as though we're in a race towards all this good. And he said, wherever ye are, I will bring you together. So we can see that Allah, he wants us to always look for the good. The good is real. The good is what he created this creation in. He created this creation in all a good state. He said first day, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, just using these timely words from this man's time, but we know that Allah said 1,000 years of his, our time is like one day to him. So anyway, Allah said every day that he created his creation, he ordained that everything he created was good. So once was a time that this world, right here where we're in now, all this evil around us, it was once good. A lot of Muslims and a lot of people don't even really know that because they don't really sincerely strive to please Allah. They'll read his message, as you said, in the Quran, the law for all human beings from the creator of all humanity, Allah. They'll read his word. They'll recite his word. They'll teach his word, the majority of them. But they won't practice obedience to his words in the Quran. And there's a saying that I come up with in my few years on this planet. This is Quran and Hadith too. That obedience to Allah is better than any sacrifice that you can make of good. because Allah said there's going to be those, and I'm through after this, I say this, he said there's going to be those on the day of resurrection and judgment that have done good so great that it would have to mount up to the mountains. And he said, a lot of these, there's a Muslim, the Muslims that have done this and made their, just fulfilled all of their obligations as far as the rituals of Islam. Gave in charity. Okay? They fasted on Ramadan. They made Hajj. They married and had intimacies lawfully, as Allah said, and stayed away from the unlawful. Allah said, nevertheless, all of that good that they did, they're going to be ordered after he judged them to be thrown into the hellfire. And, you know, of course, even like now, if somebody listening for the first time, they might wonder, and I was that way too, why are they going to be thrown into the hellfire? They did all of that. And a lot of these Muslims built masjids. Yeah. But he said, nevertheless, they're going to be ordered to be thrown into the hellfire. And the people wanted to know why. And Allah let them know why. He said, it is because all the good that you did, you did not do it for my good pleasure to please me. You did it so that the people would talk good about you. You could get all praise and glory for the good. And all praise and all glory belong to me. And in my conclusion, Allah say, to confirm this, all the good that happens to people come from Allah. And Allah say, all the bad or evil that comes from us people come from ourselves. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat. And they're coming strong to you, people. Human life is intelligent life. When people forget Allah, they lose their intelligence. And people, as we can see this everywhere today, with everything that's going on and happening in this world, some people don't have a mind anymore, you know. Mind just threw it away somewhere. And so, unfortunately, that we are living in a very serious time that we have to understand our purpose and that we are chosen. Allah makes you Muslims. He chooses you. And people, we have to understand that with that is a requirement, a very serious requirement, for us to change the way we live, to be serious about obeying the will of Allah. If we say that we are Muslims, we believe in Allah and believe in His word, we should show it in our actions because we are to be the examples of His will on earth. How can we show and teach others right, even tell them the right way, when we are continuously going the wrong way ourselves? We are so busy prying into the affairs of others and trying to tell them about their house, criticize the way they're living, that we don't see that our house is falling down on us. And we have to do our jihad on self, work with self first before we can tell anyone else, before you can show anyone else. And we show this by the way we live our life according to Prophet Muhammad. That's what he was here for. He is our guide. I was following him. I was studying Quran. I've been making prayers as we go to Allah if we're not sure about something. Not to one another and then criticize one another, people. We have beautiful teachers that we have here. Listen to these teachers. Take them to heart. Yes. Use the Quran. Use a slot. Make slot. When you go to Allah, you're seeking His help, His guidance, and you're thanking Him and praising Him for being there for you. When you study Quran, you can receive the answers for Him as to how you are to live your life, what you are to do. It's right there for you. So people, please listen to our beautiful man as they bring this message to you about your life, help you save your life, because right now you're killing yourself. And now we have another beautiful, wonderful, I believe, imam here that seems to be the imam, I believe it's the imam, Mr. Salem, North Carolina, that we're going to bring on now. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. How's the brother and the sister doing?
Doing fine. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for asking and being concerned. Thank you. Hope you're doing well and your family as well.
I am. Alhamdulillah. I joined just a little bit late, but I've been on long enough to get my socks knocked off as usual. So, you know, alhamdulillah. And when the host and the co-host, when you guys were both talking, you know, it's just logical that, you know, and it's easier for me because I've already accepted Islam. But, you know, for the person who hasn't accepted Islam, who's sitting out there and listening and thinking, well, I could, you know, just worship God, or I could just do good, or I could, you know, there's going to be people in paradise and there's going to be people in the hellfire. If we look at it just from, with take off our religious lenses and just look at it from our own point of view, there's going to be some people in paradise who didn't do as good, who did worse things than the people in the fire. And there's going to be people in the fire who did better things than some of the people in paradise. And you say, okay, well, how could that be? And it's just on what you just said, Imam, what you just said. You have to do things to please Allah. You have to do things to please your Lord. So one person doesn't worship his Lord, does all these things that we consider to be good things, you know, helps people, donates to charity, you know, contributes his time to the hospital, does these things, but he does it all for the people to see him. And another person might have committed murder, but he asks God to forgive him. He asks Allah to forgive him. And he does good things as much as he can because he knows he did that bad thing. So he does as much good as he can only to please Allah. He doesn't want anybody to see, no human, no, he doesn't want anybody to see it. He just wants to please Allah. Now that person who might have murdered somebody is going to go to paradise if Allah forgives him. And that person who walked old ladies across the street and donated his time to the hospital and did all these good things just so everybody on the block can say, man, what a nice man he is. That person may end up in the fire. You have to know why you're doing good. You can't just do good by accident. You can't. It's not. I could ask a little 3-year-old, how old are you? And he puts up 4 fingers, or he puts up 2 fingers, or he puts up 3 fingers. He might get it right by accident. He's just holding his finger up. But does he know how old he is? If you're doing something good, you have to know that you're doing it for Allah, to please your Lord. And when you know that, you have a chance that Allah will accept that deed and that you may be able to get a chance to go to paradise. Other than that, you're just doing good and wasting your time. And that is the biggest lack of intelligence that you can ever have, is to think you're doing something good and think you so smart, and meanwhile, it don't count on any scale anywhere. You're not getting blessings from the Lord of the world at all. And that's the worst, that's the most ignorant position you could possibly be in. I was listening to a show this morning after the prayer, and they had interviewed some people in the Philippines, where there used to be a lot of Muslims in the Philippines until they got conquered by the Spaniards and, you know, changed lots of their names and did lots of things like that. It was a lot of Muslims. And Islam is coming back over to the Philippines. And the president of the Philippines got up and said, I can't, you know, he didn't want to, he's not one of those who just, you know, gives in to the West. Anything the West says, we just do it the West way. So, he, you know, you take some penalties when you do that as a leader in the world. And he said, I don't believe in three gods. That doesn't make any sense. Now, I don't even know that this man is Muslim. But he says, I can't believe in three gods. That doesn't make any sense. Every time they have an argument or something or disagreement, it has to be one person in charge. It has to be one God. He says, of course there's one God. And there's a lot of people with a lot of common sense who believe differently only because their parents told them, only because somebody else told them that, but they never read it anywhere in God's book. So
that's right.
The only intelligence, the only thing that you could do that's smart, if you think you're smart, the only thing that you could do to be good, if you think you're good, is to know what your Lord wants from you and get as close to that as humanly possible. And that's the, mashallah, the 10 minutes up from listening to you, Imam, and listening to the co-host, that just poured down on me. And alhamdulillah, inshallah, my ears are closest to my mouth, and I hope I listen to it first and then act on it the best I can. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Beautiful brother, Imam Abdul Karim. What a wonderful reminder, because, you know, even when I was a little boy growing up here in the hills of America, you know, our people still had a lot of, I was born in the early 50s, they had a lot of Islamic memory in them. And even if you notice the songs that you go back in the 70s and 60s, they weren't just music to entertain you. They had messages in their music to guide and direct us out of the slave mind and slave actions that we were doing against our own selves. It was genocide. They had messages. I'll give one example, like the Temptations, a group called the Temptations had one song where they said, and some of the lyrics was, "Beauty is on the skin deep." Say that woman may be fine on the outside, but so untrue on the inside. And, you know, Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, he said to the whole Ummah, he said, Allah is beauty. So nobody, when people say things are beautiful, oh, I'm beautiful, oh, look, the sun is beautiful today, oh, the moon, look at the stars and the heavens, and it's so beautiful. They are not beautiful, the creation, but the creation of Allah reflects his beauty when it's in order, in tune to his moral laws. Like the brother, Imam from Atlanta said, Allah has laws that govern his creation. And these laws, they will keep us from going against the will of Allah, where we will bring destruction on ourselves. They will help us to follow our Creator's will so that we won't go astray from his will and destroy ourselves and destroy each other. So I wanted to just add that in there. And this is just something Allah blessed me to come up with in another writing that I was going to talk on subject. And I'm just going to briefly mention it. Says that, and people, our Creator Allah say in his final revelations in the Holy Quran, what reward is there for good other than good? And Allah says, say also, what reward is there for bad deeds other than bad? Bad. And people, the same condition you die in is the same condition you will be raised up on the day of judgment. Life, Allah say, is not for sport and play, people. Allah say he gave us life here only to test our faith in his unseen reality, to see who would believe in his in this material world or believe in Allah's spiritual world unseen. And Allah say the best of us as human beings are those who are best in their moral conduct. And Allah say also that he only accepts our good deeds. But like the Imam said, it's with good intentions. I'm going on to say that. Allah say he only accepts our good deeds, but we must have good intentions with those deeds. And Allah say most people are beginning with people that say they believe in a creator, no matter what religion. Allah said they act like Allah gave them the license to do right and do wrong and still have faith in Allah. Allah said that won't work, people. Allah is all good. He only accepts all that's good. And people, until you stop this kind of lifestyle, Allah said you are cursed in this world, but Allah say far greater is his curse and punishment for you if you live this type of lifestyle in the hereafter. Allah say the torments will be never ending. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz. And for those of you in our radio audience who are listening today, if you would like, if you have any comments or questions, push the number one button on your phone, the number one button, and your number will show up in our studio. We'd be glad to have you on and to have your feedback. You share with us your comments. So join us today with your comments and your feedback. We know most people don't like talking, most of us. We don't like to say anything, we just want to listen. But sometimes it's good for us to join in a conversation and talk to one another so we'll know what each other's thinking, so we'll know the best advice to give to one another, or whether we are understanding one another. So please, if you have any questions or concerns, hit the number one button on your phone. Your number will light up in the studio, and we will gladly call you on to join us. I want to remind you again, everyone, that you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz. The discussion today is human life is intelligent life. When people forget Allah, they lose their intelligence. And we can see this by our actions today. That something is not right. We've lost something. We lost our minds, and we just wandered around in circles to and fro today. So people, listen carefully to beautiful, beautiful messages that are coming to you. We have three wonderful imams on here today, and they are really bringing, they're telling you, they're giving you the truth from our Creator as He's given it to them. Listen carefully to it and apply it to your life and tell others that they might join you next time. And now, I'll give you again Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, and thank you, sister, for letting the people know how serious this program is. I'm going to what Imam Abdul Karim just said, you know, because it's so important. Even as a little boy growing up, I was trying to say, you see, they taught us that, you know, I observed the people. I'm in my 60s. I observed our conduct. I observed my conduct and their conduct. And I seen that the wrongs that we was doing, you know, my conscience and heart told me that that's not right. And in my conscience and heart always bothered me when I was doing wrong. And I looked at the majority of the rest of the community. They was all right with the wrong. They kept on going in it, man, like they was going on in good. Striving like they was in a race towards all that was good, and they were striving towards all that was evil. And this I say to bring it back to understand people that your salvation in this world, it ain't through an imam, it ain't through a minister, a rabbi, it ain't through the president, it ain't through your family member. It is your own freedom of will to choose right from wrong. Because later on in life, I went through all of the evil I was doing or the bad wrong I was into out of ignorance. And at the age of 19, my brother became a Muslim, and he introduced me to al-Islam, and I've been striving to practice and obey Allah and His Prophet Muhammad for the last 45 years now. That's been 45 years ago. May his soul rest in peace. May Allah forgive him and grant him Jannah. One more thing I want to say to you people, because this is it's like a disease spreading, and it's been spreading almost ate up all people, like the sister said, they're out of their mind. The reason they're out of their mind, most people, is because when you forget Allah, you forget your own soul. Where do our mind or intelligence come from? It comes from the spirit of Allah. Allah said when He put His spirit into the human being, we became what? Living souls. So no soul, no intelligence. No soul, no mind. And we've heard the saying, too, an idle mind, an empty mind is the devil's workshop. And Allah say also in the Quran to help us out, the whole world, your creator say, remember me and I'll remember you. And he say, reject not faith in me, because he know destruction lies there waiting on you to reject faith in him and destruction. The only other thing you can go to is destruction. You see, but when you come to Allah, you come to peace, you come to love also with what I'm saying. And as the sister briefly touched on, Allah says in the Quran, for all people, beginning with the Muslims, or those that say they are Muslim, he say he created us humans as nations and tribes that we might get to know one another, not that we would despise or hate one another. And this is where he goes on and say, the most honored of you as human beings in my presence, my sight, when I look down on earth at you, is the one who is the most Allah-fearing, like the Imam says, that fear to displease Allah. And my last statement is what the Imam said. I really love this hadith, and it's true so much because it's going to be a total different scene and on the Day of Judgment than what we see now, like the Imam was saying. This man had killed 99 people, okay? And yet, you would think just ordinarily, he killed 99 people. This is a murderer. But we don't have the right to say that, even now. And this was thousands of years ago when this happened. And the man, he after he killed 99 people, the last leader that he went to ask that leader if he could be forgiven for all of those murdered people he murdered. So apparently the man, even though he killed all those people, his intention was not to do that. So he asked the Muslim leader, said, is there any way possible that I can be forgiven by Allah for all of these murders I have committed? And the Muslim leader, without even thinking, automatically, just quickly, came out of his mouth and said, are you crazy? And no, Allah will not forgive you. You got to be insane. You're insane, man. You're going straight to the hell fire. These are some of the words that this Muslim leader said to this man. So this man told the Muslim leader, say, well, since I don't have a chance to go to heaven, I might as well kill you. So he killed him. And as the history goes, as the man went on, he still didn't give up on not believing that Allah would forgive him. He still believed that Allah would forgive him, you see. And he went on his journey searching for somebody to tell him Allah would forgive him to satisfy his heart, because he apparently didn't like killing, but it was just something that happened in his life. I mean, a lot of us have killed now with some of the best people in the world. So Allah sent, and on his journey, he died. He didn't meet nobody else. After the Muslim leader, he died. And the angels of death came to take his soul. And the angel of death to take the soul of the wicked came, and the angel of good to take the soul of the good people of Allah came. And they both was debating over whose soul it is. And the angel that take the soul of the wicked said, now, you know that's got to be the soul that goes to hell. Look at what all the people you done killed. And the other angel that take the soul of the good, he told them, he said, well, me and you are just servants of Allah. Let's go back to Allah. He's all-knowing. And Allah know whose soul that who should take that soul from that man's body. They went back to Allah, and Allah told the angels, he said, I'm going to shift the earth. And he said, once I shift the earth, I want you all to measure the distance that man was back when he was killing all those people to the distance of how close he was in trying to seek my
forgiveness, sentence in me. And the man was closer when Allah did that. They measured the earth, and the man was closer in trying to seek Allah, repentance in Allah, and Allah say, I forgive that man, and I grant that man Jannah. So the angel of good bring him home to me. That's very powerful. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. We thank you for joining us this morning as we bring to you Imam Shahid Shabazz with this beautiful, beautiful Sunday message, and also bring to you our guests, our other Imam, with beautiful messages that they have for you. Please listen carefully and invite others to join you. And now we will have a guest that we will bring to you. From Georgia, we bring the brother on from Georgia, Imam Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. I'm going to talk about backbiting. Allah says, doomed to ruin is every such person who slanders others and backbites them habitually. This is in Surah Al-Humazah. Giba, which is the Arabic word for backbiting, has been defined thus. It is saying behind the back of a person something which would hurt him if he knew of it. This definition has been reported from the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to another tradition which Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and others have related on the authority of Abu Huraira, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined backbiting as follows. It is talking about your brother in an irritating way. It was asked, what if the defect being talked of is present in the brother? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, if it is present in him, it would be backbiting. If it is not there, it would be slandering him. In another tradition which Imam Malik has related in Muwatta, a person asked the Holy Prophet, what is backbiting? The Holy Prophet replied, it is talking of your brother in an irritating way. He then asked, even if it is true, O Messenger of Allah? He replied, if what you said was false, it would then be defamation. These traditions make it plain that uttering a false accusation against a person in his absence is defaming, while describing a real defect in him is backbiting. Whether this is done in specific words or by reference and allusion, in every case it is forbidden. Likewise, whether this is done in the lifetime of a person or after his death, it is forbidden in both cases. According to Abu Dawud, when Maya bin Malik Aslami had been stoned to death for committing adultery, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a man saying to his companion, look at this man. Allah had concealed his secret, for he himself did not leave it alone until he was killed like a dog. While on their way, they saw the dead body of an ass laying rotting. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped, called the two men, and said, come down and slaughter this dead ass. They asked, who will eat it, O Messenger of Allah? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a little before this, you were attacking the honor of your brother that was much worse than eating this dead ass. The only exceptions to this restriction are in the cases in which there may be a genuine need to speak of a person behind his back or after his death. And if it was not done, a greater evil might result than backbiting itself. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described this exception as a judicial principle. Thus the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the worst excess is to attack the honor of a Muslim unjustly. This is in Abu Dawud. In this saying, the condition of unjustly points out that doing so with justice is permissible, then in the practice of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find some precedents which show what is implied by justice and in what conditions and cases backbiting may be lawful to the extent necessary. Two of the companions, Muawiyah and Abu Jahm, each sent a proposal of marriage to a lady, Fatima bin Qais. She came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked for his advice. He said, Muawiyah is a poor man, and Abu Jahm beats his wives much. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. In this case, as it was the question of the lady's future, and she had consulted the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his advice, he deemed it necessary to inform her of the two men's weaknesses. Once Hind bin Utba, wife of Abu Sufyan, came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Abu Sufyan is a miserly person. He has not provided enough for me and my children's needs. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. Although this complaint from the wife in the absence of the husband was backbiting, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted it. For the oppressed person has a right that he or she may take the complaint of injustice to a person who has the power to get it removed. So when is backbiting permissible? From these and other precedents of the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the jurists and traditionists have deduced this judicial principle. Backbiting is permissible only in case it is needed for a real and genuine from the Sharia point of view, necessity. And the necessity may not be satisfied without having to resort to it. Then on the basis of the same principle, the scholars have declared that backbiting is permissible in the following cases. One, complaining by an oppressed person against an oppressor to every person he thinks can do something to save him from the injustice. Two, mentioning the evils of a person or persons with the intention of reforming them. Three, stating the facts of a case before a legal expert for the purpose of seeking a religious or legal ruling regarding an unlawful act committed by a person. Four, warning the people of the mischiefs of a person or persons so that they may ward off evil. For example, it is not only permissible but obligatory to mention the imperfections of the reporters, witnesses, and writers, for without it, it is not possible to safeguard the Sharia against the spreading of false reports or safeguarding the courts against injustices of the common people or safeguarding students against errors and misunderstandings. Or,
excuse me, Brother Imam, I don't mean to cut you, but I do have to cut you because I am the host. Time is something that's fleeting. And we have to have a show where everybody gets an opportunity to speak and not one individual. And I'm the host, and I'm not going to do it. Gets them in, a time that they can come in and give their input throughout the whole program. It ain't about an hour or so. So I would like at this time to bring on the Imam from Winston-Salem, our brother Imam Abdul Kareem, and see what he has to say, the comments that he have concerning the title of the program about human beings than most than lost their intelligence and why they have lost their intelligence and how they can get their intelligence back. Imam Kareem, are you still there?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Excuse me, Imam's brother, of all of you. Oh, yes. I was also attentive to the time. This job on this end is for me to do that and to let you know. The brother did have time to complete his statement that he was making. We still have 30 minutes left. So, but Yes, but we can go on. But thank you a lot, ma'am. I will, from now on, every night, just let you know the time so that we won't interrupt each other and cut each other off. And now on with the ma'am from, I believe.
No. We'll go ahead on because you're the one that directs the program. You're the one that directs the program. But like I said, it remains a fact what I said. I am the host of this program. Allah's made me the host. So I know that, you know, when Allah put it in my soul that I should speak and, you know, bring somebody else on because I wanted to be a flow. So let the brother go ahead on and finish. But you haven't given me no definite time limit that everybody should talk. And we stuck with that time limit ever since the show been on. We've never followed a format of everybody following a set time. It's been just people talking, and some people will just go on and on and on and on, not saying that what they're saying is not good, but that ain't the point. This is a program for all of the leaders to get an opportunity to teach true understanding of this way of life, Al-Islam. So you go on, brother, finish. The sister said we got 30 minutes. I'm not just trying to cut you to cut you. And if anybody think that, that's a slander on me. I don't do that.
Inshallah. Yes, brother, you may continue. Yes, you have not finished your – we do have 15 minutes each, and you have not completed your time. Like I said, I'm sort of conscious of the time, and it appears sometimes that you're talking longer than you are, but you really had not completed the time that was given to you. You all may go on and come as you have started with the show, as soon as you complete your discussion, we'll go on to the next discussion. You have about 3 minutes left.
Thank you, sister. I understand that what I'm saying may take a while to say, and I apologize for that. But I'm making videos of this, my talks about what Allah says, and you can find them on the YouTube channel called Inner City Voice with Dawah. I just have a couple more here that I was going to raise as permissible times when you can backbite somebody, and it's not really backbiting, but it's like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that it's judicial principle. Number five is to raise one's voice against and criticize the evil of the people who may be spreading sin, immorality, and error. And number six, to use nicknames for the people or mocking names for the people who may have become well known by those names. Apart from these exceptions, it is absolutely forbidden to speak ill of a person behind his back. As-salamu alaykum.
All right, we'll call on our next guest speaker now. Our imam from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, excuse me, brother, Imam Abdul Kareem.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah. And it's beautiful, the topic, and it's beautiful when you pick these topics because Islam doesn't contradict itself. You know, Islam, we could talk about topic A, topic B, and topic C, and all three of those topics are going to intertwine. And how do you know? Because if I had to use my own intellect about what backbiting is or what I consider slander, I would think as long as I'm not telling a lie, I can go ahead and say it. But without the intelligence of knowing the Quran, without the intelligence of knowing the explanation of the Quran, which our prophet was a living tafsir of the Quran, he was a living example, explanation of the Quran, without his example, how would I know, how would I be able to use what is really intelligent to know what backbiting is and what slander is, okay? And when I just use my own my own interpretation, I make my own decisions, I'm liable to be right, I'm liable to be wrong. But if I'm right or wrong and I made my own decision on that without knowing what Allah and his messenger have said, then that's a shame on me. And that's where the topic is so important. Knowledge, intelligence is knowing your Lord and knowing what your Lord wants from you. Okay? Because other than that, I would think it's okay. If I don't like somebody's behavior or something about them and I want to go tell somebody else, I would think that's okay. Okay, but like the brother, the imam from Atlanta just said in his explanation of slander, his explanation of backbiting, and I think he used the word ghiba, the Arabic word, this word ghiba, is even if it's the truth and it's something that the person would not like for you to say, that's still considered backbiting. And if you lied about him, now you're slandering him. Now you might as well be eating the dead flesh of your brother, and you're better off eating a donkey that they had dead. I think it was a donkey that he said they found dead. He said, go slaughter that and serve that to the people. Who's going to eat it? Nobody. Well, what you did was worse than eating that. Talking about your brother was worse than eating that. And who would know that your words hold such weight? Who would know that it's such a crime, such a bad, such a disdainful thing to the Lord of the worlds? Who would know that it's so displeasing to talk ill of your brother? It's so displeasing to Allah that you talk ill of your brother. Who would know if the Prophet didn't give us these examples? So they all intertwine. And that's the beauty of this Islam. And I think it's the beauty of what Imam Shahid said about having multiple guests and multiple people to kind of bring things full circle so everybody's understanding. And if anybody makes a mistake, I make a mistake, you can correct me in a way, inshallah. And we can all get an understanding, because that's Islam. Islam is going to just bring to you, hey, this is how you brush your teeth in the morning. This is how you greet a brother. This is how you greet a sister. This is how you get dressed. This is how you walk in the door. This is how you walk out of the door. And it's just an appreciation that I have. And, of course, I'm biased because I'm already Muslim. But I wasn't always raised. I wasn't raised as a Muslim. You know, we said we were born on, born Muslim. Everybody's born submitting to Allah. And then your parents, you know, or your environment make you something else. But, you know, I wasn't always that. And I had other beliefs, like, you know, maybe other people on the show have had, but you just didn't really believe them. You know, for me, it was just like, you know, okay, maybe I'll understand it later. So I'll just mimic what everybody else is saying now. And Islam cleared all of that up. Islam was like, no, you say this and you do this because of this. And it just made perfect, perfect laser sense to me. And even when I get something wrong and somebody corrects me according to Quran and Sunnah, I appreciate it so much, because where they're coming from is love and fear of their Lord. And when they share that with me, now I can love and fear my Lord better than I was 5 minutes ago because they shared something with me. So alhamdulillah for the host, co-host, and the guests on the program. And that's just what I wanted to say. I wouldn't know, okay, the correct and how bad it is to backbite or talk about somebody or say something about somebody. I wouldn't know how strong Allah took that unless it was shown to us by our messenger, unless I was blessed to have Islam as a guide for me, for myself, and inshallah for my family and my closest friends. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you. Very good. I appreciate both of you brothers. I look forward to having you on. And, you know, like I said, still I'm going to go back to the topic of intelligence. Another way you can look at intelligence comes from where? Allah. Intelligence comes from good. Allah is all-knowing, right? So Allah being all-knowing, Allah is all-wise. So all wisdom and all intelligence and all knowledge come from Allah. So my point is this. The reason we got so much slammed and backbiting in starting with the Muslim world against each other is because they have forgot Allah and his Prophet Muhammad's teaching. Prophet Muhammad going back
presence, peace be upon him. He said in his last sermon on Mount Arafat at the Hajj, he said, I leave you, and there ain't no things. He said, I leave you with two guides, two authorities to live your life by. He said, and those authorities is the Quran, the book of Allah, and my sunnah, my life practice of the Quran. Practice the Quran the way I did and follow the Quran the way I did, and you won't ever go astray. Another thing that's so very, very important for this talk show right now today is that we must always remember, too, that Prophet Muhammad said righteousness is good morality. And none of those things that the Imam said about backbiting Islam and you said, brother, all of those things were correct. But it's one thing to talk about these things. It's another to do them. Because even me, I'll start with myself. Islam is not, most Muslims act like Islam is a way of way you can cater to your own nafs, false desires, and you also can please Allah at the same time. And that's what slamming, backbiting, in the flesh of it did. But all of it comes from your own nafs, not following your own false desires, not following the will of Allah in the Quran and the Sunnah of His Prophet Muhammad, prayer and peace be upon him, as Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad. Also, this is very important, always been to hear me, and years ago emphasized this and made a book on this. His name was Rafiuddin Muhammad. He said, he emphasized that Prophet Muhammad, prayer and peace be upon him, said, righteousness, he said religion, it's sincerity. And so if you are sincere, you will fear Allah. And you fear Allah, you will work on don't slander, backbite, adultery, fornicate. All of that Allah says is haram, forbidden. If you fear Allah, you will try to stay away from them things every day as if it's your last day on the planet. And all that Allah says is halal, permissible. Allah and His Prophet, Muhammad, prayer and peace be upon him, you will strive every day like it's my last day. I'm not going to get another day to get it right. And this is true taqwa. Because as I said, that man that killed all of those people, Allah still forgave that man. And in the Quran, if you read, and you get an being blessed with understanding, Allah said He forgive all sins. But clearly the implications of our conduct, moral conduct, is in the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, not only for Muslims, but for all humanity. Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet Allah sent to what? Humanity, all human beings, not just for Muslims. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum As-Salaam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Jaheed Shabbat, the reality of the Creator. And those of you in our listening audience, if you would like to participate, push the number one button on your phone. We'll be glad to call you on the air for your feedback. And we'll discuss our subject today is human life is intelligent life. When people forget the law, they lose their intelligence. And speaking on intelligence, as our Imam was saying, when we lose our intelligence, we lose the ability to think positively, to speak positively, good, to speak good, okay? To act in an upright, good way that is pleasing to Allah and to the eyes of those who see us. And we lose our ability to see others and self in a good way. A way that will complement each other. We lose the ability to think before we act. We become emotions. And emotions are our shaitan. That's because we have lost our intelligence. We're not thinking anymore. Thinking positive. We lose the ability to discern right from wrong. So we can see this all around us. So obviously we have lost our intelligence because and have problems like we've never had, situations have like never before in history and in life. And we see that everyone seems to be confused. And when we lose our intelligence, we become confused. Nothing but a bunch of chaos, disoriented, not knowing which direction to go in. And we lose that because we lost touch with our Creator, the Almighty God, Allah. We're not in touch with the Creator, and we've lost our intelligence. We want to thank our man today. We have still about 15 minutes left now, and we can now bring on another imam. I believe the imam from Georgia. We'll give you a chance to speak again. Imam Muhammad.
That's what I'm going to say.
Walaikum salam.
I have a little bit more if it's all right for me to share it with you. But these videos are something that you can have a watch party, a video watch party at your masjid, and discuss these videos about what Allah says about spying and backbiting, what Allah says about racism, what Allah says about Jesus, and so forth and so on. But we have to get this knowledge and wisdom and guidance from Allah out to the people because it has never been done before. We have been told certain things and we have been given poorly written pamphlets to read about what Allah says or different situations that have happened in the course of the last 1,400 years. But we have never been given details like I'm trying to do on this video series. So I'd appreciate it if you go to my YouTube channel, the Inner City Voice of Dawah. In a backbiting situation, if I may continue, if what is spoken is true, it is backbiting. If what is spoken is false, it is defamation. And if it is meant to make two persons quarrel, it is slander. The Sharia has declared all these as forbidden. In the Islamic society, it is incumbent on every Muslim to refute a false charge made against the person in his presence and not to listen to it quietly and to tell those who are speaking ill of somebody without a genuine religious need to desist from the sin. The Holy Prophet has said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person does not support and help a Muslim when he is being disgraced and his honor being attacked, Allah also does not support and help him when he stands in need of his help. And if a person helps and supports a Muslim when his honor is being attacked and he is being disgraced, Allah Azza wa Jal also helps him when he wants that Allah should help him. This is in Abu Dawood. As for the backbiter, as soon as he realizes that he is committing this sin or has committed it, his first duty is to offer repentance before Allah and restrain himself from this forbidden act. His second duty is that he should compensate for it as far as possible. If he has backbitten a dead person, he should ask Allah's forgiveness for the person as often as he can. If he has backbitten a living person, and what he said was also false, he should refute it before the people before whom he had made the defamation. And if what he said was true, he should never speak ill of him in the future and should ask for the pardon of the person whom he had backbitten. A section of scholars are of the opinion that pardon should be asked only in case the other person has come to know of it. Otherwise, one should only offer repentance. Well, if the person concerned is unaware of the backbiter and he goes and tells him that he had backbitten him, he would certainly feel hurt. Allah, by likening backbiting to heating a dead brother's flesh, has given the idea of it being a shame. Eating the dead flesh is by itself detestable, and when the flesh is not of an animal but of a man, and of one's own dead brother, abomination would be added to shame. So I'm going to stop here, brothers and sisters. Thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for your time, taking the time out today, Brother Imam, to be with us and to share with us timeliness with the subject that we are, the title we had today, because there's no way you can have intelligence and backbite nobody. There's no way you can have intelligence and slander nobody. It's no way you can have intelligence and not fear to go against what Allah and His Prophet Muhammad has said. And so I would like to refer everyone listening and everyone that's not listening, take it to those that couldn't listen for some reason, that Allah, our Creator, He is the sole judge. He's the only one to judge our intentions and actions in this world and in the hereafter at the resurrection and the judgment. So, you know, this is very important because in the society, this is all you see. I work out in the society all the time. I still do door to door, like I share with the brother man down in Atlanta, and it's not easy. About going out doing dawah, and Brother Imam Abdul Kareem know here in Winston-Salem, High Point, Greensboro, North Carolina, Salisbury, Durham, I work in all of those cities still right now doing door-to-door in Allah Almighty say all of His prophets and messengers, peace be upon them all, they walk through the street. So, yes, we can do dawah. I want to speak on this in other ways, but Allah, I didn't make up this rule. Allah says, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is human beings and stones prepared for those who reject faith in Him. And then Allah goes on and tell you how to save yourself and your family. He said, by striving in my cause with everything you got, your utmost. That means with all your energy, with your person and your goods. That is your person, your body, and everything He's given you. Is to be used to call people's attention back to their Lord, back to all our Creator, because the Creator, I'm going to use this term, that the people, all people, not just Muslims, that prays together, stays together. And then my conclusion of this section or portion of what I'm saying, we are taught, and I stand to be corrected at any time by either of you, ma'am, and you too, sister. It is said in Islam by the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, that we should always encourage unity when we make our prayers. We should encourage prayer, not just at the masjid, especially at the masjid. He said we should go out and he said pray together. And we are also taught that when we are making salat, we stand shoulder to shoulder, toe to toe, and symbolically that no evil from Shaitan can come between us, because Satan's number one weapon to call people to do all of them things you all said today, slamming, backbiting, and all that, is divide and conquer. What is the division I'm talking about? Why don't we pray, and Allah says if you pray in unity together, He'll bless you 27 times more than by yourself. Because united we stand. If we stand united in Allah's truth, and go back and look at the Prophet and them, Muhammad and them, they was united. It was a battle where they was outnumbered, I don't know, maybe 10 to 3, something like that. They was way outnumbered. But they stood together in unity, and none of them wavered in their faith. They was willing to kill or be killed for Allah to establish Allah's justice and His law, moral law on this planet Earth. We have to do the same thing today if we want to get the success of reaching people. And that's a wonderful thing what you're doing, brother, and bringing it on the computer that what you put together. I couldn't quite get it. I tried to call you a couple of times. If you will, you call me and give it to me, then I can pass it on also, because I'm always out in the public. I'm always dealing with Muslims and non-Muslims. Just like I want you to continue to let people know about this program, because more Muslims and non-Muslims need to come on this program here and hear the wisdom of Allah so that they may have a chance to save their soul before their death come knocking.
the death of all of us, is Allah says, going to come knocking very soon. And we're not going to get another chance. When death come knocking, you out of here. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you, my salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of the Imam Shaheed Shabazz. Today's discussion, human life is intelligent life. When people forget the law, they lose their intelligence. And our Imam from Georgia gave a great example on backbiting as us having lost our intelligence. As you can see, the main means of communication today seems to be backbiting. The only way people know how to express themselves is to backbite. The only way they can carry on a conversation is to backbite. This is what we see everywhere now. Before a person opens their mouth and then make one good mistake, they're talking a backbiting about someone. So we have to learn people that this is not good intelligence when we do this. Because we're showing that we're not connected to our Creator, we're not connected to the law. And not following the way that he has ordained for us, the life that he's ordained for us to live. So therefore, we are creating problems, unnecessary problems for ourselves and others when we do this. So let's get back to our intelligent way of life. As find our Creator, strive to please the Lord, strive to please him, and strive to follow in the way and example of Prophet Muhammad. We have a few minutes left, so to give the person from Winston-Salem, Imam Abdul Kareem, allow him at this time to say something.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah. Well, alhamdulillah. I mean, I'm sure we're getting towards the end of the show, but I do want to hear the YouTube address again for the brother from Atlanta to. So that we could, you know, I could listen to his show because a reminder benefits the believer. And it just goes to show that everybody's growing. Everybody's continuing to learn. Even if you think you know something, you know, you want to go back and listen again because
right.
some of the smaller points, like, you know, we just happened to bring up the backbiting and how it, you know, goes towards speaking to what the Imam said about, how could you know what Allah wants and go against it and call yourself intelligent? And this backbiting is such a small detail. Like, we look at it as such a small detail that we'll hear it and say, okay, I got the point, and we'll forget it until the next opportunity comes up. And there you go, diving right into backbiting somebody again. So a reminder benefits the believer so that, you know, you could continue to remember Allah, because the only constant is, or one of the constants, Allah, of course, is the constant, but the shaitan is a constant persuader. He's a constant pain for us. He's going to constantly remind us to do the evil, to do the bad. And we have to constantly keep Allah in our conversation and our remembrance of Allah in the conversation. And then we have to have the intelligence to find out exactly what our Lord wants from us and act on it. And these reminders help us, and these reminders remind us of what Allah wants from us and help us to act on it.
We have 1 minute and 40 seconds.
And give us more opportunity to bring his name into our conversations so that maybe we could receive a reward. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Imam. We want to, Brother Imam from Atlanta, you have my number. Why don't you text me your information about your program?
We don't have the Imam on anymore. We don't have the Imam on anymore.
Okay.
Yes.
No problem.
We have.
So do we have time enough to pray?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, at least time enough to pray, because he said it, and I can give Brother Kareem the brother's number, and I have it, so we can get that. That's a good thing that he's doing, and I've enjoyed everybody today.
30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds. There's no creator. There's no illah, God, false God. There's no one to be worshipped. our praise except Allah. We give our own praises to Allah for blessing us to raise up this day, giving us another chance in life to prepare our souls for Allah. We give our own praises to Allah for that. And we reject the worship of Allah's creation as believers on Allah and only worship Allah, the Creator, the one that we cannot see. We thank Allah for this program today, and we ask Allah to forgive us if we said anything against His will, and we ask Allah to continue to bless us to only say what He and His Prophet Muhammad taught us in the Quran and the life example of His Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon Him. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Jabal, which comes on every Sunday at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us again next Sunday as we bring to you the reality of the Creator, Imam Shaheed Jabal.